770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, folks, we got a great show lined up for you today. Some of my favorite stuff coming up today. And, you know, Copper will have her piece at 3 p.m. for Copper's Corner. And like I said earlier, the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson will be on at 4 o'clock, which is also a lot of fun because we sit there and ping each other with questions. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't on the answers. But it's certainly enlightening nonetheless. I usually wind up walking away with a few nuggets of information just on my own because those guys are sharp. But I'm going to spend some time right now talking about kind of segueing right off of what I just did in my monologue. My monologue there I talked about, if I had to give that a title, by the way, it would be Citizens of a Free America. Because there is a movement right now to make America less free. And don't try and tell me there's not. Oh, Phil, you're just being an extremist. Now you're being a conspiracy theorist. No, I'm not, actually. I mean, when I see things like an infringement upon constitutional values or the intent to change the makeup of the court, the Supreme Court, so that we can get more liberal opinions in, or the desire to pass $3.5 trillion social justice bills, those kind of things tell me that we are running the risk in the midst of a pandemic with all the shutdowns, a risk of seeing more and more infringements upon our personal freedoms. I'm amazed, though, by what I'm seeing in Australia, because if I had to say there's a model of where we don't need to go, Australia has been it. It's unparalleled in the world right now, really, in what's going on with terms of loss of freedoms. And it didn't come because the Taliban were in charge. It came because democratically elected officials decided to begin going down certain roads and the citizens did not have the means to make it stop. Do not think for a second that your constitution is just a piece of paper. Your constitution is like a firewall. And I got to tell you, I'm distressed by what I'm seeing in Australia. Hey, Copper, let me ask you this. Grab the mic there, Copper. So have you ever been to Australia yourself?
No, I haven't. Sounded cool before now.
Before now, yeah, good point. Yeah, like I said earlier, it's been a bucket list for me. I've always wanted to go to Australia. So what are your impressions, though, taking aside the things that I'm talking about right now, what are your impressions of Australia just from afar?
Sort of the Wild West feel, but maybe a little crazier because everything wants to eat you.
I've heard before that everything in Australia wants to kill you. And yep. That's part of the adventure of living there, yes. Yeah, movies just... so have you ever seen Crocodile Dundee? Is that ever been on your...
I think when I was really little, I saw it.
Well, try to make me feel old. Okay, so that's because it came out. I think it came out when I was in college, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Crocodile Dundee 1 came out when I was in college. But then what about, I don't know if you like Westerns. Have you ever seen Quigley Down Under?
No.
Come on, Copper. This is part of that extended movie list that I'm recommending to you now. So now you got to put Quigley Down Under on there. It's like Tom Selleck. You know who Tom Selleck is, right? The actor. So I'm assuming you know who Tom Selleck is.
Oh, yeah, Copper, killing me. Totally.
Okay. The best mustache in all of Hollywood, Tom Selleck. But yeah, Quigley Down Under, all about Australia. But it's kind of got a funny history because Australia is an island continent, basically. It's massive in size, but it is one country. And then on top of that, you've also got the fact that it's got an incredible and varied amount of wildlife that's unlike anything else in the world. It's got, you know, vast deserts and you know, wastelands. It's got that sounded a little Mad Max there, which, by the way, Mad Max was in Australia. Thank you very much, Road Warrior. But then on top of that, too, the culture there is unique and independent. They were originally, did you know they were originally a penal colony for Great Britain?
Yes.
Okay. So they're a penal colony again is what I'm thinking right now. But yeah, they were originally formed as a penal colony, a place where, you know, you were sort of exiled to, and then they became a nation. And but they're also one of our greatest allies. They fought with us in every major conflict. World War I, II, I believe we had some Australian presence in Korea, Vietnam. Their Australian SAS, the Special Operations guys, are just, you know, excellent. But all of this to say, what I'm seeing right now, I tell you where it really gets my attention too, is when I see a U.S. governor like Ron DeSantis calling out the nation of Australia. And that happened, by the way, 2 days ago. Today's the 30th of September. Yep, that's right. The 28th. Governor Ron DeSantis blasts Australian COVID-19 rules. I'm reading from something called Florida Politics. And it says the governor questioned why the U.S. even maintains diplomatic relations with that southern ally. And he went on to say, here's the thing. Australia is finally getting close to the end of its lockdowns, they say. And I'm going to tell you in a minute about how they've even set up things they call Freedom Days coming up. Freedom Days. We're going to have freedom again one day, people. We're setting a calendar date on when you can have your freedoms. After more than a year and a half of the COVID-19 pandemic, the Australian military was even deployed this past summer to enforce lockdowns. Sydney, Australia, has been in lockdown since June. Melbourne since August. The capital territory of Canberra was locked down on August 12th after only one positive test stemming from Sydney had been emerged. And here's what Ron DeSantis said. Our Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said, quote, "That's not a free country. It's not a free country at all. In fact, I wonder why we still have same diplomatic relations with what they're doing down there. Is Australia freer than communist China right now? I don't know. The fact that that's even a question tells you something has gone dramatically off the rails with some of this stuff." That was Ron DeSantis in Florida. And when I see that kind of a headline and that kind of a quote, it tells me I need to make sure this news is getting out. And so, folks, I'm going to spend the next little bit of the show here amazing you with some sound clips and articles that describe an Australia to you that sounds more like a heavily militarized communist nation. It reminds me of East Germany back in the day. And it's not. It's Australia. And it should scare the crap out of you. Because this is a free nation in a Western society that's supposed to be somewhat akin to us in terms of democratic freedoms. And they have gone through an amazing amount of unrest and lockdown by a government that is way out of control. All right, Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. More where that came from. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. And by the way, you can also listen to us live online anywhere you are at rightsideradio.org. Just go to rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and wherever you is, there we is. And that's why we have such a broad audience. I mean, with people calling in from out of state, we got people in all kinds of places that are way outside the AM-FM capability, which is already big, of this station. And that's just awesome. Hey, listen, we got a track going right now. We're going to talk about Australia. You may be saying, Phil, why are we talking about Australia? This is an American show. You're like a sort of a local, regional Alabama audience conservative. Yes, I am. All that's true. If we don't pay attention to what's happening in some other places in the world, we are doomed to be them before too long. Now, I'll be honest with you. Australia, to me, is the model. It's not communist China. It's not even the Taliban. I mean, those countries are so far on the other end of the spectrum that they would have to come back towards us before they could say they're losing anything because they're already so far gone. But when you watch something like Australia, this is almost like us sitting here and watching Tennessee become a communist state. I mean, it's that big. When you consider who Australia is and who they have been, and our greatest, one of our greatest allies in the hemisphere, actually they're in the southern hemisphere, but you know what I mean. But the reality is they are a westernized nation, one of our greatest allies, democratically elected governments. And then, you know, what's interesting is I began to get some clips of news, right? Sort of looking at how things were, and I go, check that out. It's hard to go online and find real news when you figure out pretty quickly soon thereafter that Google and YouTube are suppressing the news stories. I mean, you really have to narrow your search and like go dig in the weeds. One website, by the way, one that I did find that's doing some amazing on-the-street reporting right now is this kind of And they're not a national news. They're more like an online publication called Rebel News Australia. Rebel News Australia has a guy that's going out on the street. Every time there's a protest or an event, he goes out and he talks to the police, and he typically knows the rules better than they do, because more than once I've watched videos where the police try to harass him, tell him to put on his mask, and he points out to them the law says he doesn't have to because he's speaking into his microphone at the time. And it's just, it's amazing to me to watch what happens. But Rebel News has been reporting some stuff, and I got a few clips coming from them in a minute. But the other piece of this, though, is, as I began to gather up my stories, it finally dawned on me, wait a minute, just look at the normal news stories. Like, what are they saying on the main networks in Australia? And you realize they're reporting on this stuff, but they're acting as if it's just every day. It's just the way things are. I'm going to get into some details here to help you, but Copper, go ahead and get clip one ready. Let me know when you're ready on clip one. Clip one is just literally Channel 9 News Australia just reporting on Melbourne lockdowns, just reporting on things as if, hey, just every day in Melbourne. Copper, go ahead and play clip one, then we'll talk about it.
Okay, Lana Murphy, thank you. Motorists were frustrated as police checkpoints led to major delays on the city's busiest roads. With public transport off limits, essential workers were forced to wait as police cracked down on anyone attempting to protest in the CBD. Mimi Becker has the details.
Snaking into the city, traffic was bumper
to bumper. Okay, wait, pause. Pause right there. Just pause real quick. Okay, pause there. I say pause there because, first of all, did you catch the first part? Just reporting. Police checkpoints to be able to get into the city. Okay, essential workers. Did you catch that part? The government had decided who's essential and non-essential. We've seen some of that here. Or what about the fact that it's long lines of people trying to get in and they can't, just to the city, just trying to get in because the police checkpoints are also a combination of having shut down public transportation. So public transportation gone, police checkpoints to get into the city, essential workers, keep playing the clip.
Traffic was bumper to bumper. Today's show of force, a series of checkpoints, essentially shutting down Melbourne CBD.
Oh, a good hour. This is crazy. There's only like a couple of cars getting through at a time.
Ruined my day, honestly.
Drivers asked to provide ID and show authorised worker permits. Some frontline workers forced to sit in traffic for up to 2 hours.
Yes, it is an inconvenience, but a small one, so it's worth it. It's surreal. It's like a bit crazy, but no, I've never seen anything like this before.
It's pretty frustrating with all the protesters at the moment.
With trains, trams and buses not operating from 8 a.m, there were replacement shuttles to transport essential workers. Police had warned they would be present, and today they were impossible to miss. Water crews skimming along the Yarra.
Okay,
for those
stop
who
there.
Made it into
go
the...
Go ahead and stop there. What you're hearing there is a report. Yeah, Copper, I don't know. Copper just pointed out. We had a couple of people in there that said this is worth it. I got news. They selectively chose those, I'm sure, Copper. But the reality is it wasn't worth it to most of them. You heard the one guy going, you know, two or three cars getting through at a time, sitting here for hours. You know, one guy says, it's ruined my whole day. Well, so there are other things that you heard in there besides the fact they've shut down public transport. They had police checkpoints to get into the city. They had people called essential workers. Those essential workers also had an essential worker pass. Did you catch that part? And then on top of that, you have at the very end, right when I said go ahead and cut it off, they also had police patrolling the waterways around the edges of the city to ensure that no one was trying to get in by boat. I mean, people, this is Melbourne, Australia. But it goes, I mean, so Australia, and I'm not super familiar with the layout of their political geography, but they have states, kind of like we have states. So there's not as many, obviously. They have New South Wales. They have, what else? Victoria, and I've forgotten what else. But the bottom line is this. They each one is setting up their own version of how to do things. They got a bit of a patchwork quilt, kind of like we have Florida doing one thing and New York State doing another. But this has been extreme. So New South Wales right now, this story comes out last week. New South Wales is saying that they're close to unlocking the new freedoms. No, I got news. It's not new freedoms. It's the old freedoms they're supposed to already have in place. Anyway, their quote here from the Daily Mail in Australia. The state of New South Wales is just days away from unlocking their new freedoms after a surge in vaccine has brought forward the estimated 70% milestone they've been looking for. 70%. But, here's the but, government officials are warning that the technology to power a new combined vaccine status and check-in app protected by a digital hologram may not be ready. Did you hear what I just said? Because if you read the story further, you find out that Australia has now set up a national database. And there is an app being required in New South Wales. If you want to get into a restaurant, you have to have the app You have to be able to track. They have to be able to verify your status as vaccinated. It goes on to say that when the new freedoms do begin, that at first retail stores will reopen with limited customers. Reopen with limited customers. Pubs and restaurants can offer restricted dining and drinking, people able to stand outside. Double jabbed, that's what they call them, double jabbed adults will be allowed to meet in the same home. Five double jabbed adults will be able to meet in the same home, and up to 20 potentially outdoors. So they're telling you who you can have in your house, and they're limiting the number of people you can have in your house, and they're limiting the fact that they must be vaccinated. Travel throughout New South Wales will also be allowed, and campsites reopened. Carpooling will be allowed again. All right. Masks will remain mandatory for adults indoors, but hospitality staff will also have to wear them outdoors. And then there's just any number of things going on that just boggle the mind even further. So, folks, this is Australia we're talking about. And it's, but by the way, don't think for a second this is just something that is being blindly accepted. Now, I will say this. It was somewhat accepted, but it was accepted too long, and now they're finding massive amounts of civil unrest. All right, and it's no small thing. One of the things that just happened in the last, I mean, I've got a copy here. This is a transcript of a podcast. What's the name of the podcast? It's a lady named Virginia Allen in Melbourne, Australia. She interviewed a guy named Evan Mulholland, who's with the Institute of Public Affairs, which is a conservative think tank in Australia. And he goes on to talk about it. And in response to her questioning, because she says there's an attempt to get to zero COVID, but that also means zero freedom. And so the Institute of Public Affairs guy, Evan Mulholland, is saying, yeah, it's been, I'm reading for the transcript, he says, if you judge Australia on one or two metrics, then we've done rather well for a country of over 25 million people. Keep in mind, 25 million people. They've had 1,200 deaths in 25 million people and only 100,000 cases of corona. So that's a fraction. It's a minuscule fraction of their population. But he goes on to say the lockdowns have had a massive impact on business. For example, in the first 5 weeks of the Sydney lockdown, we estimated they cost around 10,000 jobs a day. He goes on to say, I think one of the worst parts of the Australian experience is we've seen what we call the two Australias. He said the public sector, who come up with the rules, those bureaucrats, they've done quite well. They've gotten pay raises. They even expanded in size. And big business has done well in the pandemic. But small businesses, cafes, wine bars, bookstores, small grocers, they're in free fall. And he goes on to say there actually was a government subsidy for a while, but they've pulled that back, and they're still not letting them go back to work. So it's not a matter of paying people to stay out of work when they could have. They're not allowed to go back to work. And then he goes on to say it's worse than that. There's a curfew. In the part where he's at, he's in Victoria, and he says currently they have, this came out today, he said it's a hard lockdown. That means it's a 9 p.m. curfew. You are not allowed outside of your house for any reason after 9 p.m. except for an emergency. You're only allowed 2 hours of exercise a day. This is prison, y'all. This is a penal colony. But this is Australia. And you only have a few specific reasons you're allowed to even leave your home, like shopping for essential items for an emergency or for that 2 hours of exercise. Otherwise, you have to stay home all day. And he goes on to talk about the impacts to the mental health of the community. They've had record numbers of self-harm, that children have lost 2 years of education, basically. And he goes on to talk about, though, that the interesting thing has been the militarization of the police force. He said, he talks about a few anecdotal things that I won't bother going into because of the time. But he says, what we saw recently in Melbourne was after the Victorian government here mandated the vaccine for construction workers, this was one of the big ones recently, a sector that takes place mostly outside where the virus doesn't spread, you'd think a protest like this, they might protest outside the Parliament House. Well, the 300 construction workers showed up outside of their union hall because they felt like the union was in collaboration with the government. Well, that made the government mad. So the government shut down all construction in the nation for 2 weeks. All construction. And so 300 protested. They shut down all construction across the nation and put all construction workers out of work for at least 2 weeks. Folks, this is Australia. And as we move to this short break, I'm going to come back in a minute and I'm going to play you some clips. but it's not sitting well with the populace. But it's Australia. Do not think for a second that the fact that we are America means that we are completely immune. I'm just saying, this is not conspiracy theory time. This is wake up America time. Do not think for a second that what I'm saying is not legit, because this is Australia, not Afghanistan that I'm talking about. This is not a communist nation. This is not a reminder of what East Germany used to be. This is Australia today. And some of the clips I'll play in a minute, they may bruise your heart just a little bit. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back. Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN, the News Talk powerhouse of North Alabama, and this is the biggest show across the afternoons of North Alabama right here, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams hosting his Right Side Radio, where we like to say that we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. I spent some time talking to you in a word of caution about what's happening in Australia, and you guys, listen, I say this not just for your situational awareness. I say it because we don't want to go down that road. We have to be aware of what's happening to freedom-loving people, not folks from a communist nation, Australia. And I got some clips here that I want to try and get to in the next couple of minutes here. Copper, you go ahead and clip two. Get it ready and let me know when you got the thumbs up on that. Because I mentioned earlier, Rebel News is out there interviewing people on the street. So Rebel News went to a place where there were a group of healthcare workers, many of whom were vaccinated, who saw the mandates as being soul-crushing, and they were upset because they felt like that the government mandates were actually inhibiting people from you know, moving forward with their own health care in all variety of ways. And they went out there and began to interview these folks who were sitting there calmly and peacefully. It looked a lot like a Biden rally in the election last year. They were all sitting 20 feet apart, holding signs, and just talking, and they were very peaceful, and more than 150 or so riot police showed up, and all they were doing was standing there in a grassy knoll in a park. And then they all left peacefully. In the meantime, though, play clip two, how some of that conversation went.
To threaten people's livelihoods is a complete overreach of government, and it's absurd. We live in a free and fair society, we're told, and yet to be coerced into taking a mandated vaccine, that doesn't sound like a free and fair society to us, and that's why we're standing here.
This is not a public event. They didn't advertise this anywhere. These are colleagues that got together to take a stand.
You know, last year, healthcare workers were the heroes, and now a lot of them are going to be unemployed.
Just because I made a personal choice about my health, it's out the door.
We all received the email that it's going to be mandated after 15th of October, and we don't know what is going to happen. And we have family to feed.
Trying to work, feed our families, and now this is what we face because of a mandate.
You gave an anecdotal number of 90% of people there weren't there because they really wanted to. They were doing it just to get their freedoms back. We keep hearing this.
Copper, go ahead and stop there. Yeah, thanks. So, folks, what you're hearing there, those are healthcare workers. The first lady who spoke even said at one part in a different part of the clip that I didn't play is that she's already vaccinated. She gets it. She's actually pro-vax herself. But she also recognizes that mandates are not the answer. In a free society, that's not the way we work. But then the same lady had an amazing comment just a little bit later. Copper, clip three, if you're ready with that, give me the high sign. Because I think clip three, her comments were just amazing. You got it? Go ahead and play clip three.
Discussion. You know, if you corner a population, you know, tie their hands behind their back and force them, you will get a backlash because we are a freedom-loving nation. And if you try and take those freedoms away, you will get backlash.
Here is Australia.
And they are. And right now, one of the things that happened, I mentioned to you a while ago about the construction workers who were infuriated that they're all working outside for the most part. All they want to do is just work, and they're told they can't go to work now. If you remember back when Alabama was doing some of its essential versus non-essential workers, which I disagreed with vehemently, then we at least construction was considered essential because the ongoing construction industry is important to the continuation of society. It also has people's homes and businesses involved because they have to do construction to keep those things either up or to build them up. And yet the government in Australia chose to not only lash out in an industry that chose to say something, but then when the same group of construction workers decided to march, like Black Lives Matter, it was able to march just the week or so before with nobody saying a word about it. Listen to what happened in clip four. Go ahead and play clip four, Copper.
As thousands of unarmed, mostly construction workers marched Melbourne streets in protest of the world's longest and harshest lockdown, they suddenly found themselves confronted by an armoured vehicle operated by a counter-terrorism squad backed by hundreds of riot police.
Live now in Melbourne, this is what's happening. This is for our health in Melbourne, live now. They've separated the groups.
All right, we'll stop it there, Copper. So, folks, we are heading to a break. But what you heard there was a sound of rubber bullets and tear gas being fired at people who were actually peacefully watching. It was a video. I watched it. That's exactly what it was. And that was the Melbourne police and the counterterrorism squads showing up with armored vehicles and taking them down. And the video will boggle your mind if you watch it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Let's don't go down that road, people. We will be right back.
BNN Athens.